First Corinthians. Let's make it Second Corinthians. Yeah, first is good too. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. I want to look today at the topic of Christ's epistles. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, we will go to the first verse. It says, "Did we begin again to commend ourselves, or need we, as some others, epistles of commendation to you, or letters of commendation from you?" They used to write letters in the East in order to welcome somebody or to introduce somebody to some. They would write epistles on their behalf, letters of commendation. That's what he's talking about there. He says, "Ye are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read of all men. For as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshy tables of the heart." He said here in this verse that verses that they were the epistles of Christ, or Christ's epistles. They were the epistle of Christ. What exactly is an epistle? Epistle is nothing more than a letter. We know that. Paul wrote a number of letters or epistles to the first century church. He said that when Paul wrote his epistles, he was writing, talking about the accomplishments of Jesus Christ. He wrote letters that talked about righteousness, redemption, grace, mercy, love, faith, hope, power, compassion, trust in God, the work of Christ, the one body, the new man, just to name a few things that he wrote about. Right? And yet he says to the Corinthians, when they see you, they should see all those things. Right? Because you are the epistle of Christ. So when he was writing to them about all those things, and he says, guess what? Now you are the ones that will bring that to the rest of the world. You're the epistles of Christ. When people read the letter, they read about what the person who wrote the letter wanted them to read and understand. When people read you and me, they ought to read about Jesus Christ. We are Christ's epistles, known and read by all men. Remember, we used to say, I have an old expression, people would rather see a letter than read one or something like that. I can't remember what people expect. Remember what it was? Yeah, something like that. They would rather, because if we don't see it in our lives and the way we live and the things we say, it's very hard to convince them of the truth of God's word. We are the epistles of Christ. We give forth Jesus Christ by our actions, by our associations, by what we say, what we think. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Verse 25, it says, "Whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given me to me for you to fulfill the word of God." Verse 26, "Even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery." In other words, the central point, the riches of the glory of this mystery, "among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." Right? Christ in every one of the believers, the hope of glory. It says in Corinthians that, and again, this verse always amazes me, and I still, you know, when I read it, I go, it's hard to really take it in, but it says that the devil wouldn't have crucified Jesus Christ had he known this truth. He Had he known that truth about that every believer would have Christ in them, wherever they go, whoever they talk to, wherever they are, he wouldn't have crucified Jesus Christ. Must be a pretty important truth that is written here in those words if the adversary thought it was that important. Right? How much value do you bring to the world around you, wherever you go, by walking with Christ in you? You know, Christ, like, everything that Jesus Christ represented is in you. It's in us. We represent Christ to the world. It's Christ in you. It's not, you know, just some five senses principles of confidence and all this. It's Christ, the Spirit of God in Christ in you. And because of that, we have the ability to be the Christ's epistles, the epistles of Jesus Christ. Wherever we go, when you walk into a room or situation or at work situations, wherever you are, people should see Christ. I will speak for myself. That is not the way I always carry myself. Right? I can assure you that many times in the week, they don't see Jesus Christ. They see me. Right? And they see my shortcomings and my failings and all that. Right? So, you know, this is not... It's for all of us as believers to recognize what God's Word is calling us up to. You know, sometimes they see Christ by the words we say. Well, let's, you know, keep doing that. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, I mean, it's a pretty amazing to think that God would say that about us, isn't it? You know, 2 Corinthians 5:14 says, "For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again." Most people in the world live for themselves. Right? That's the way of life. People live for themselves. God's word calls us to a higher calling, or we're to live for who? Christ. Our decisions are to be in light of him and what he did. We're to live for Jesus Christ, not for ourselves. In Galatians chapter 2, and this truth is all throughout the New Testament, especially the church epistles, obviously. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live." In verse 20, chapter 2, verse 20. "Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but who lives in me? Christ who liveth in me." You know, sometimes if you just sit down in a quiet place on a porch or in your bed, in a bedroom or your office, and just sit down for a minute and think about the import of those words. Christ lives in me. Sit down and think about it for a while. "And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." Our whole life is to be lived with believing concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. From that point of view, it makes it pretty simple, right? There's not a lot of things you got to think about. Just one, Christ. And all that means to us. In Acts chapter 3. Epistles. We're the epistles of Christ. Might make us want to rethink a few things we might be wanting to say some days, or some things we might be wanting to do certain days, if we just step back and say, "Well, I'm the epistle of Jesus Christ. I'm Christ's epistle." living within me is Christ. And it's interesting, this is a great record in Acts 3. We've read about this record many times, but this is the follow-on to when that man was healed at the gate. Verse 11, as a lame man, the guy was healed, which was healed, held Peter and John. All the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk? When you read these verses, look at what they're saying here, because we just read where it's not me, right? Didn't we just read, I don't live for myself, I'm alive, but living within me is Christ. Here he's saying, it's not by our own power or holiness, it's the same truth, right? It's exactly the same truth. What does he say? That we made this man to walk, the God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his son Jesus, whom ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate, when he was determined, let him go. But you denied the Holy One and the just, and desired a murder to be granted unto you, and kill the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. But who was the ones that ministered that? It was them, wasn't it? They were there. They knew they had Christ in them. They knew they had Christ living within them. So they were able to minister deliverance. Yet they say it was because of Jesus Christ, not by their own power, not by their holiness and the things they knew about, but Christ living in them. Right? Christ in them. Right? You know, we really got to take these records and put ourselves in Peter's shoes and John and Paul and all, you know, men, and the way they ministered, the way they walked and what they did. We got to see ourselves being able to speak and minister that way, because it's the same Christ in us. Paul didn't have a double dose of Jesus Christ, right? He had the same Christ, right? Verse 17, now, brethren, I wot that through ignorance you did it, as did also your rulers. Let's see. Let's go down to chapter 4, verse 1. And as they spake unto the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in hold until the next day, for it was now eventide. Howbeit, many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of men was about 5,000. And it came to pass on the morrow that their rulers and the elders and scribes and Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power, by what name have you done this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God hath raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Look at verse 13. Love this verse. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men. So back in chapter 3, he said, it's not by my power, it's not by my holiness. And here, so they haven't got the power, they haven't got the holiness, and on top of that, they're unlearned and ignorant. So, you know, I like this because it makes me feel really good, right? Because I can say, well, if I'm unlearned, if I'm ignorant, if I'm not confident in my own power or my own holiness, I can still walk for Jesus Christ. That's what they did, isn't it? Not by, what did they say? He says, they took knowledge, they marveled and took knowledge of them that they had been with who? Jesus. Who did they represent? Right? Who were they representing when they were saying, you know, there is no other name given among men? Right? Who, when you speak God's word to somebody, who do you represent? Do people say, you know what? This person, he or she, they've been with somebody. They know something that I don't know. There's something there. That's what they were saying. It's not them. They knew Peter. They saw him fish before. They saw him get angry and do all kinds of... They knew Peter. Right? They go, wait a minute. They've been with Jesus. Right? You see how they had... It was no longer them that live, but Christ liveth in them. And people said, whoa, they've been with Jesus. Right? Look at 1 Peter chapter 3. Since we were looking at Peter, we'll go to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 3. You know, I was reading those records and I got thinking, so what is it that people see when they see us? And I was thinking in terms of when you're reading the word, you go, what do people see when they see me? When I go to a situation or at work, or what do they see? Like, and I was thinking about Peter and John, and they said, you know, they saw Christ. They said, well, these guys don't have that, but they saw something. What do they see? What is the confession of my life? What do I confess in front of myself, in front of my family, in front of you, in front of people at work? What is the confession of my life? You know, how are you today? Not bad. You know, getting by, surviving, you know how it is. It's all this, you know, barely getting by, you know. Do I always speak about my problems, right? You know, I got this ailment, I got this problem, you know, it's hard, you know, when I always have all these, like, problems. And what is the confession of our lives? What is it that we talk about, right? In 1 Peter chapter 3, and in verse, where are we going? We're going to verse 8. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion on one another. Love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil. You know, someone does something wrong to you. What's your natural response? Oh, I can't wait till I get a chance to get back. Is it Christ? Or is it me? Right. What do people see? But contrariwise, blessing. Knowing that you are thereunto called, that you should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, and his lips that they speak no guile. Right. What do I speak? What do I say at work and other places, you know, at home and abroad? Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. And who is he that will harm you if you be followers of that which is good? But if you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. That's walking for Christ. You know, someone talks to you or they're asking you a question, you're always ready to give an answer of why are you always peaceful? Why are you blessed? Right? Why don't you ever get upset about the news and what's going on? No matter what happens, how come you're always blessed? Right. Well, is that what they say about us? Well, here, you know, God says, be ready always to give an answer. You know, verse 16, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse you your good conversation or behavior in Christ. They can't accuse you. Right. They've tried. Remember, they couldn't find anything against Jesus Christ, right? Remember Daniel? I know he didn't have Christ in them. He didn't have Christ in him, but how did he live his life? They couldn't find anything to accuse him. Right. How should we live our lives? No accusation. Be ready always. Give an answer. In me is Christ. Living in me is Christ. And that's what we ought to give out. In Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. And in verse 12, it says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do." God sees everything. You know, there's everything's open. "Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession." The word profession there is the word confession. "Let us hold fast our confession, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Right? What is the confession of our lives? You know, you might not feel well someday. Yeah, I'm not saying you don't go. You know, I might tell Jane, you know, I'm not feeling well, Jane, today. I'm not feeling well. What's Jane's response to me? Or, well, have you tried the latest drug? You know, or have you know what? I've signed this great remedy and. You know, you boil, you know, tea leaves and, I don't know, cedar root, whatever. That's okay. And those remedies are all great. I'm not knocking any of that stuff. But what I'm saying is, what's my heartfelt trust in life, right? You know, I would expect my wife, my kids, my brothers and sisters, as you would expect me, to present to you that we can go boldly to the throne and get grace and mercy to help in time of need. Right? I don't want the other remedies. I can read about those. I want to be encouraged to walk with God. That's what I want. Right? What's the confession of our lives? How about someone says to you, "I can't do that," or "I don't amount to anything"? What's your response? "It's okay. We're all sinners." You know, no. That's not the response. It's like, you amount to a lot. It says God has placed you in the body where he wanted you. You're a member in particular. You're seated on his right hand, and you represent Jesus Christ the world. Don't you forget it. Right? That's a little better than, "It's okay, we're all sinners. You know, we don't want to mount to anything. It's okay, you know." What does the word say? You know, we ought to be so excited about what the word says about us. Christ in us, right? The hope of glory. You know, I was writing some thoughts here. I'm not talking about false Christian smiles, okay? I'm not talking about that. You know, where you talk, you know, some Christians say, "Oh, it's fine, it's wonderful, everything will be all right." You don't know that. God tell you that, right? You know, I'm not talking about false, "Oh, everything's wonderful, it's great." I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about a heart that is rooted on Jesus Christ, and if something goes wrong, so what? You're still rooted in Jesus Christ, right? And that's the confession of our life. Not, "Oh, everything's fine. Oh, you know, let's wave hands." And I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about steadfast anchor rooted to Jesus Christ, who is the rock of our lives. That's what I'm talking about, right? Look at Hebrews chapter 10. Couple more verses. Hebrews chapter 10, and where are we going? We're going to verse, that doesn't look right. Where's that right here? Let me, 19, I believe. Yeah, 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession or the confession of our believing without wavering, for he is faithful that promised, right? The word faith here is the word hope, by the way. It should not be the word faith. Whole confession of our hope without wavering. You know, it doesn't mean that there aren't going to be bad days for us believers. Yeah, I'm sure you're all saying, thanks, Raj, we didn't know that, right? Of course, that happens, right? We know there's, you know, and we get frustrated, you know, we get angry, and we, you know, all those disappointments come, and we know all that. But, you know, I'm just saying, what is the thing that undergirds our lives, right? You know, the way Jesus Christ said when those things happen, he said, you know, if you build your house on sand, right, what's going to happen when those things happen? It's going down, right? But he said, if you build it on the rock, which was who? Jesus Christ, right? Then the waves can come, and they will come. But it's not going down. You're not going down. We're not going down, right? As the old song says, we may bend, but never break, right? Close in 1 Timothy chapter 4, please. 1 Timothy chapter 4. See, we're the living Christ's epistles, the epistles of Jesus Christ. We represent Jesus Christ to the world by our actions, by our vocabulary, what we say, by our associations, the things we think about, the way we react to situations. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10. Is that where I'm going? Yeah. Oh, I'm in 2 Timothy. That's why it doesn't make sense. Okay, I'm in 2. It's 1 Timothy. That's why the verse was like, it's a nice verse, but not the one that I wanted to go to. There we go. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. These things command and teach. And now Paul writing to Timothy, he says, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example. Be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation or your behavior, in love, in spirit, in believing, in purity. Right? He tells them, you be an example to the believers, you know. And that's walking with Christ in us. Right? We're an example to the world. You know, you carry what the world needs. You know, we have all that every human being on the face of this earth needs. And you know exactly what it is, right? Do you know how valuable you are to the world? We should never think that we can't help somebody. We should never think that we're not worth something. You know everything you need to know to help somebody come to the Lord and have eternal life and to be with him forever, right? Who wouldn't want that? Right. Do you need to learn another 1,000 things before you can bring that to somebody? No. Right. You already know so much of God's word, so much truth. Till I give attendance, verse 11, give attendance till I come. Give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given to thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Right? He exhorted Timothy, you know, to speak the word, that he always knew the word, to bring it, you know, and be an example to all the believers. We shouldn't get distracted by conforming to the conversations of this world. You know, I was thinking, how many times do you hear about climate change and global warming and all that? You know, sometimes we can tend to get a little bit, you know, emotional about those things, right? But it's a distraction, right? It's really a distraction because our God has promised us the world is not going to get destroyed, right? Isn't that what he promised, right? Why should we ever worry about any of that? Why should we get so caught up in that we get so emotional into, oh, I don't want to be on either side of that argument. I want to be on this side of the discussion, which says global warming is coming, right? We know that, right? The elements melt with fervent heat and the earth is destroyed. That's global warming at a grand scale, right? We know it's coming. So that's the side that I want to be on, right? So let's not get caught up in those conversations. There's so many. I remember I was looking through the conversations of Jesus Christ, how he was single-minded in his response. Like, he didn't get caught up in the, you know, the things people wanted to get caught up in, right? Remember they had forgotten bread, right? He had just healed 5,000, 4,000, you know, not healed, sorry, fed 5,000, 4,000 a few times. And they were on the boat and they said, oh, don't beware of leaven. And they said, oh, we haven't taken bread. You know, he goes, it's not the bread. You see, he was always, they were always down. He was always up here talking. And they were always down here. We haven't taken any bread. He goes, oh, my goodness. Right? You know, let's not get caught up in the day-to-day things. Let's recognize what we are and who we are in Jesus Christ. Remember Peter on the water? Peter went down. He didn't say, that's okay. He goes, no, Peter, don't you doubt. Don't doubt. You see, he wanted to call. He didn't want to keep him where he was by saying, oh, it's okay, we're all sinners, you know. We all sink sometimes. He didn't say that. He said, "You don't you doubt me," right? He wanted him back up on the water. That's where we got to stay, right? Back up on the water. You know, remember when they asked him, have you eaten something? And he says, I have meat to eat that you don't know of. You see, he was always bringing conversations up here. You know, they're always trying to bring it. He was like, okay, that's where we sit, right? So, you know, we our goal, and really God's goal, is salvation. He wants everybody to be saved and to come onto a knowledge of the truth. Isn't that what he wants? That's what God wants. We are the epistles of Jesus Christ, right? Epistles, we give forth Christ. And we can decide how effective that will be by what we choose to do, how we choose to act, how we choose to respond to situations, and how we choose, and what the things we choose to confess, right? As opposed to what the world might want us to confess or things the world might want us to get into. So living in us is who? Christ. And we live for him, right? So that's it.